I'll start the story off with a guy called James Cable, who was recorded as a teacher of the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, and he would have taught it in the room directly above our heads, which we'll go and see a little later on. And he was paid by the parish to teach the children of the school, and at the same time he was also the clerk to the parish. When he died, his son, also James, took over as parish clerk, or clerk to the parish. He had a son called Henry, who was married, I think, in 1760, here in Blacksfield in the church. And then he had his first son, Henry, and he was baptised there in 1764. So that's the background. And just to complete the story, both Henry Cable and myself are descended from one Robert Cable, who lived in Cratfield, baptised in Cratfield in 1584, got married in Cratfield Church, eventually became church warden there, and he had two sons, Robert and James. I'm descended down the line from his son Robert, and Henry Cable was descended down the line from James. So we are distant cousins.
Come all you gentle people and listen to my tale concerning a poor convict from Suffolk he did hail. For 14 years transported, as you shall understand, for to lead a poor and wretched life upon Van Diemen's land.
One night, Henry Cable Sr., Henry Cable Jr., and a chap called Abraham Carman decided to rob a house in a village called Arbra, which is just to the north of Harleston. And is well chronicled, the items which they stole: sides of ham, jars of pickles, sheets, bed linen, etc., etc. They all got caught and taken to Thetford Assizes for trial, where they were all found guilty and they were all condemned to death.
It was at Thetford Assizes that the bar they soon did stand, and the sentence it was given that all three of them should hang. But up spoke Henry's mother, crying, "Spare my only son, for his years are few, and for one crime his race should not be run."
So, on reprieve, Henry Cable was then sentenced to 14 years transportation. While he was in Norwich prison, they allowed free association between men and women, and he met up with a young lady called Susanna Holmes, and they had a young boy born in Norwich prison.
For 3 long years and upward in that dank and bitter cell, young Henry and Susanna, they loving lie did dwell. And in 1786 she bore him a baby boy. Who would believe that such a pit could ever hold such joy?
So, after having spent some time in Norwich jail, he was eventually deported to Australia. Henry was to go on one ship, and Susanna and the baby were scheduled to go on another ship. So they were going to be separated. The jailer of the prison, one John Simpson, he had charge of them from Norwich down to Portsmouth. And when he got to the ship to deliver Susanna and the baby, the ship's captain said, "Well, I've got no paperwork for a baby. All I've got is the woman."
When me and these poor convicts did arrive at Plymouth Strand, I marched
marching them up onto the deck, all chained hand to hand. The captain saw it's come aboard, indeed it proved unkind. The women come, he did declare, but the infant stays behind.
John Simpson didn't like the idea of the family being split at all. So he rode back to London on horseback, went to see the Home Secretary, Lord North, and explained the situation. And Lord North then put it forward to some of his fellow peers, and eventually it was decided that they should all go out together as a family. In the meantime, the whole story of these two people came to the attention of the newspapers, and a Lady Cadogan raised the princely sum of £20. And that was eventually given to the captain of the ship, which took them to Australia for safekeeping. The turnkey, John Simpson, then rowed back to Portsmouth with the right documentation, ordering the ship's captain to take the whole family on the same ship.
Bidding them to understand that young Cable and the baby with Susanna were to go as a united family unto that distant shore.
So they were all put aboard the Friendship and set sail on the First Fleet in May 1787.
Now the anchor's away and the sails are unfurled.
Roll down.
We're bound for to take her halfway round the world.
Walk around, me brave boys, and roll down.
And we will roll down.
Walk around, me brave boys, and roll down.
The whole voyage took 9 months. They were sailing down the west coast of Africa and got blown off course. And they went round the Cape of Good Hope and eventually hit Australia from the east.
Across the still and the silent ocean, our ship she finds her way along. The crew, they make no loud commotion. The chain that transports, they make no moan. All black despair do lie behind us, and what awaits us no man may know. Of those dark days, naught can remind us. New worlds are waiting to which we go.
Having got there, the fleet docked in Port Jackson, as they called it, and 3 days after they dropped anchor, the boat was ordered over the side of the ship, and Henry Cable, being a big, sort of strong, strapping lad, was ordered as part of the crew to row the captain ashore and to the beach. So he rows the captain ashore, the boat beaches, and the captain, not wanting to get his boots wet, orders Henry Cable over the side, and he climbs onto his shoulders, and Henry Cable carries him ashore.
And when they reached the shallows, Henry o'er the gunwale sprang. He took the captain up on his back and he waded to the sand. The very first of exiles in that distant place to stand.
They raised the Union Jack to claim it for England. A few days after that, Henry and Susanna, who had previously been refused permission to marry in England, applied to go on to the register of the first wedding ceremony, which was held on board ship. And having arrived as a family, husband, wife and child, they are known to this day in Australia as the First Family. Going back to the money which was raised by Lady Cadogan, the £20, that was given to the Captain Sinclair for safekeeping. But unfortunately, Captain Sinclair mislaid it. Henry, although he was not by any means literate, decided that he was going to take some legal action. And history records that he started the first court case in Australia in the summer of 1788, which he won, and the captain was ordered to repay the £20 which had been lost. And with it, Henry was able to, after he got his freedom, he was able to buy a small pub, a pub called the Ramping Horse. And he started the first brewery. And when they built a prison at Sydney, he was made their first jailer. He went on to a number of other firsts. He sold the pub, bought a ship with which he started trading back to the UK, carrying spices from the Malacca Islands, which are just to the north of Australia. He lived in a wealthy part of Sydney called Windsor. He had a lot of land there and ended up a very wealthy man.
And when their years of sentence passed, their happiness did grow, with property, prosperity, and children also. And so come all you gentle people who were lost in dark dismay, and remember that the blackest night must sometime yield to day. Remember that the wildest storm eventually must pass, and like Henry and Susanna, may you find your joy at last.
Thank you.